Well, good morning, everybody. And this would be the first time I would remember to dismiss the kids, and there are none today, so it doesn't count. Oh, yes. Sixth grade on down, please be dismissed. I got one. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter. We're going to have the scripture up on the wall, page numbers for the Pew Bibles. And I encourage you all to follow along. This is the fifth message in our summer series, and it should be the sixth message, except that I didn't preach last week, so I think somebody owes me Sunday, and I might have to go to Liberia to collect. So, this message today is for the children of God, and the title is Abiding in the Reality of Christ, Enjoy the Journey. We've looked at God's Word over the past 5 weeks, and we've dug deep to get into the root, the vine of Christ. In that root, our beginning place is Christ. Faith in Christ and Christ alone is where we start. This is where everything begins. This is where all of our sins are forgiven, and we become righteous children of God. Faith in Christ is where we become His children. We have a relationship with the God of the universe as His children, as His sons and daughters. God deals with us, and God loves us as His children. This is the sprout of the vine. Knowing and believing and living these truths is the beginning and the duration of abiding. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, nothing can ever change this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God we have in Christ. So what's next? Before we look at what's next, I need to say this. The idea or thinking that we have to reach some level of perfection or maturity to have God's blessing upon us robs us of the peace and the joy we have in Christ right now. The truth of the gospel. Now get this, brothers and sisters. The truth of the gospel is that God's grace is lavished upon us and we are righteous in Christ. Rest in Him and look to the hope of glory. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this time that You've given us to be here today. Lord, I thank each person that You've brought to hear Your message, Father. And I do pray, Father, that Your Spirit works through me, Father. And I pray Your Spirit works in everybody in this room, Father, to teach us Your truth through Your Word. So I pray, Father, that we grow closer to You today through Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what's next? Let's put this into historical perspective. There was eternity past, and then God created the earth, and He created us. And then through the Old Testament, through the Old Covenant, He chose a people, Israel, to have that covenant with, to walk with Him. And then we came to the cross of Christ, where the new covenant began. And that is the age we are now in, all the way up to when Jesus comes again, and then we go into eternity future. So for us right now, we're in this time of witnessing of God through Christ. We are here right now, in this time, when God is reconciling His people to Himself. So what does this have to do with us then? My root is secure. My faith is in Christ and Christ alone. And I believe that I was saved through faith, by grace through faith, and that I also must walk by grace through faith. What do I do now? What is going on in me? What is my purpose? What does God want me to do? That is what we are going to look at today. And I would say this first, right now, and always and forever, everything is spiritual. Everything is kingdom of God. Everything is truth-driven. We must know, we must understand, and we must believe spiritual truths. So let's get started. Turn to 2 Peter, if you're not already there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is the word of God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. As we looked at last week, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we see that clearly in this passage. Look back at verse 2 with me. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through knowledge of Him. And look at the amazing reality of the power that comes through knowledge of Him. Look at verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord because that is where our power to walk with Christ is. Notice the power is divine power. It is godly power. It is spiritual power. What I want us to see is that our walks with God, there are two truths, or two distinctions, as I would call them. They are separate, but they are woven together. And they begin to answer the two of our three questions. What is our purpose and what is going on in me? Look back at verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness. Power. Godly power. Spiritual power to live our lives. And spiritual power to become godly in our natures. Careful now, I'm not saying becoming gods. We will always be God's creation. God alone is God. But we are to be conformed to His image. We are to be more and more like Christ. Those are the two distinctions in our walk. First, we have life. Life on this earth, in these bodies right now, and eternal life in the future in glorified bodies. In this life right now, in this life, in these bodies, in our current life and current bodies, we are being called by God to a purpose. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So what is our purpose? Well, the short and simple and most important answer is our purpose is to glorify God. The ultimate reality of our existence is that we are here to glorify God. But how? What is our purpose? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This is a familiar passage to us. This is the word of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our purpose is working for God. And not just working for him, it is good works we are doing. And it is not only good works, it is good works that have been ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Walking with God is working for God. What is our work? What is our primary work? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. This is the word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let's pause here. This is what this message is about. In Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, we have a purpose now for doing works. In Christ, there is something going on in us. And in Christ, there is something we ultimately should be doing. Let's see what our purpose is. Verse 18. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our occupation is ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. This is not our home. This is a foreign and hostile land, and we are God's ambassadors. We are ambassadors for the living God. Our ministry, each and every one of us, each and every child of God, our ministry is one of reconciliation. We are to make God's appeal. God's appeal. Are you getting that? God is making his appeal through us. We implore people on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It is not our appeal. It is God's. For you unbelievers that might be here, that hear my voice right now, put your faith in Christ and Christ alone and what he did on the cross for you. I appeal to you from the living God on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Can you think of or imagine any greater work? Can you think of or imagine any greater privilege than to be God's ambassadors of reconciliation to him? It's no wonder Paul calls it good works. And consider this. We only get one shot at this. We only get one shot at being ambassadors of God in this foreign land. We only get one shot at proclaiming Christ in this world. We only get one shot of being ministers of reconciliation to the God of creation. We get one shot on this earth at glorifying God. What could possibly be more important? What are we doing with the resources that God has given us? What are we doing with the time that God has given us? May God forgive me for the years and years I've wasted. Thank you for your grace, Lord, that you have lavished upon us in our walk. What is our purpose? At this time in the history of the ages, we are ministers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors and witnesses of Christ. It's time to get to work. The title of this message is Enjoy the Journey. What could be more joyful than being God's ambassadors? Okay, so we are rooted in Christ and we are built up in Christ. And because we are rooted, we have life and we are called to work. That is the purpose of our life right now. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. Secondly, because we are rooted, the second distinction is that we are called to godliness. Verse 3 had told us, His divine power has granted all things that pertain to life and godliness. And godliness. What is going on in us? This was another one of our questions. A process is underway in us. This is called sanctification. Turn to Romans 8:28. We've been reading and hearing this passage quite a bit. Romans 8:28 through 29. This is the word of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Let's hold up here. We've all heard and read this verse many times, but do we really get this? I mean, really, really get this? Listen to 2 Peter again. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. We are called to God's purpose. Everything works together for our good. Because we love Him and we are called according to His purpose. It is by His divine power that He has granted to us this awesome promise. On to verse 29, and we'll see another incredible, exceedingly great and precious promise. Verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. There is no stopping what is going on in us. God has predestined it, and it is His power toward us. We will be conformed to the image of Christ. Somewhat as we walk on this earth right now, but completely when Jesus comes again. This is the heart work in us. This is the hard work. It often takes suffering to grow more in the image of Christ. But don't miss this. God could have conformed us to the image of Christ the instant we were saved, but He didn't. Remember, brothers and sisters, our walk is a gift from God. It is a gift that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It is a gift that we suffer for His name's sake. And it is a gift that everything works together for our good. Our walk is a gift from God. Our walk is a gift from God. He is our Father, He wants us to go to Him. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to learn from Him and believe in Him and trust Him. And He wants us to experience Him. He is our Father, and He wants us to love Him as we grow up in Christ. Just as we are only ambassadors until we die or Jesus comes back, so it is with sanctification. When Jesus comes, we will be conformed to His image completely and forever. We only get one shot at this. We only get one shot at all of this. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't leave the most precious gift of the history of mankind on a shelf. Growing up in Christ with our Father as His ambassadors, don't miss out on the joy of this journey. It is a gift of God. There are so many directions I wanted to take this message. Perhaps someday we'll be able to. We started with three questions. What is my purpose? What is going on in me? And the third one now then is, what does God want me to do? In this life, we have a calling from God to be His ambassadors of reconciliation. That is our purpose. That is how we are glorifying God. In this life, we are growing more like Christ. We are being sanctified. That's what's going on in us. The answer to the third question, what does God want me to do, is simple. God wants you and God wants me to follow Jesus. If we are following Jesus, then everything else is taken care of. If we are following Jesus, then we will be ambassadors of reconciliation. If we are following Jesus, we will become more and more like Jesus. And if we are following Jesus, we will be abiding in Him. And if we are following Jesus, we will be glorifying God. Still in Romans 8, or turn back there, please. I told you a few weeks ago we'd be here a lot, and we will be. What does it mean to follow Jesus? How do we follow God? How do we walk? Romans 8, starting in verse 1. This is the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh. Watch this now. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how do we walk? According to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Where is our mindset? On the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Where else is our mindset? On the Spirit of God. This is life and peace. Move on to verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. As sons and daughters of the living God, we are led by the Spirit of God. This is how we follow Jesus. We are led by His Spirit. Listen, abiding is not a magic pill that we take once in a while. It is a way of life. It is a spiritual way of life. Life in Christ is spiritual life. Notice what is going on. We are to set our minds on things of the Spirit, and we are to set our mind on the Spirit. This is where the battleground is, brothers and sisters. There is a battle for our mindset. Turn ahead to chapter 12 in Romans. There is a battle for our mindset. Remember, life and godliness. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. One more passage on this. Colossians chapter 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How then, if we are children of God, are we to renew our minds and follow Christ? Perhaps we need a list of rules and regulations and some laws to follow. Heaven forbid. What does Paul have to say here about legalism? What good is it? Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through chapter 3, verse 4. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perished as they are used, according to human precepts and teaching. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism to the, and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We are to set our mind on things that are above. Why? Because that's where Christ is. Have you ever heard the saying, too heavenly minded to be any earthly good? As believers, that is ludicrous. We set our mind on God. We are to be completely heavenly minded because that's where our leader is. Listen, our mindset is not to be earthly anymore. It is to be focused on Jesus. And that is how we follow him. So how do we get our mindsets on Christ? How do we set our mind on things of the Spirit? And how do we set our minds on the Spirit and the things above? We spend time with him. Time in his word, time in prayer with him, time worshiping him, time with his body of believers. If we are to follow Jesus, we must know him. You see, this comes full circle. How do we grow? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must know him. So we have the answer to our three questions. our purpose, to be ambassadors, what is happening to us, sanctification, what does God want us to do? Follow Jesus and be led by the Spirit. We've looked at a lot of doctrine and a lot of good, solid truth, and I want to start wrapping this up by looking at Jesus. What does Jesus have to say about this to us? I stole a lot of what's to follow from my Easter message, and it's okay because most of you weren't here, so I'm good with that. Every message, I've been doing this for a year and a half, maybe a little more, but every message I've given has touched me in one way or another. Some more than others. But as God had me reading the accounts of the resurrected Jesus for Easter, I was touched. I was touched by how personal our God is. So let's look at this together, and may God move us by His Spirit. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We need to know Jesus personally and follow Him. What we are looking at here is the resurrected Lord of the universe. John chapter 21. We're going to read the entire chapter. This is the word of God, starting in verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple who Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. Don't you just love Peter? When he heard it was the Lord, he threw himself into the sea and swam back to shore 100 yards. And I love this next part. Please, really, really consider these next few verses as you walk with Christ. Just how personal, how relational, just how loving and caring is our God. Verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid down on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. He's cooking breakfast. The Lord of the universe, the God of creation, is cooking breakfast for them. The sinless Son of God, who was tortured and killed for them just days previous, is serving them breakfast. This reality just amazes me. Along with other things, but perhaps mostly, this is the most amazing thing about our God. He is personal. If you were there, right now, if Jesus came and called your name right now, what would you expect to be doing with him? What would you expect to happen? Would you expect him to call you over to serve you breakfast? To eat with him? To fellowship with him over fish and bread? How off is my thinking? How off is our thinking? Our God is relational. Our King is approachable. Beyond that, God, our Savior, is our brother. And he is our friend. He wants all of us. He wants all of our heart and all of our soul. He wants us to enjoy him. If you want to grow leaps and bounds in your walk with Christ, if you want to enjoy life in him, if you want to enjoy your journey with Christ, we need to stop thinking about religion and start thinking about relationship. These are more than words on a page. These are experiencing the love of the living God in Christ. He's serving up breakfast for you. It's not until they have finished breakfast. It is not until they have finished breakfast that Jesus begins instructing them. Peter in particular, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." It would take a couple of sermons to draw out the truths of this passage, so I'm going to stick to my theme. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, yes, and yes. Then work for me. Serve me by serving my people. Be my ambassador. And you will die to glorify God. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus is our leader and he leads by love. On to verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who had been reclining at the table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" Jesus had just told Peter he was going to be killed. And Peter's reaction was to question Jesus. "Well, what about John? I'm going to die. What about John? What is going to happen to John?" You follow me. Don't worry about all the other people that are following me, what I have for them, that you follow me. Jesus is saying this about me and you. What God has for you is between you and God. And what God has for me is between me and God. As God's children, we are to work together. We are to love one another sacrificially. We are to bear one another's burdens, and we are to have joy with one another. But get this, and get this good, our walk with Jesus is one-on-one. It is personal. You follow me. If you want to get to know where to start and continue your walk with God, here it is. Spend time with Jesus. And remember, your walk isn't dependent on anybody else but you and Him. You follow me. Find your way to Psalm 46 and we'll conclude. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to be His ambassador in an enemy land? Do you have a desire within you to see people reconciled to God? Are you called and being led by the Spirit of God? If your answer is yes, then this psalm is for you. Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam through the mountains, tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He makes the bow and the shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Following Jesus is not easy. Life and godliness are battles. It is a battle to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is a battle to proclaim the name of Christ in this world. How can we possibly enjoy this journey when my flesh is screaming out to sin? How can we possibly enjoy this journey when the world hates me and makes war against me? Thus saith the Lord, I am with you. Be still and know that I am God. You follow me. Brothers and sisters, enjoy the journey because it is a journey with God. Let's pray together. Father, your word is incredible. It is pure truth. We thank you for it. Father, may these truths just become part of us. Give us the faith, Father. May your Spirit teach these things to us and move us, and may our minds be set on you and nothing else. I thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we are going